Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Ox Talk for the week of Tuesday the 3rd of December, where carols echo through the frosty air, a season of love, a time to share. My name is Ross, and I'm compiling this week's edition. This week's news items were collected from the local Oxford papers, with news being selected and read by Alison Soskis and Marianne Moxon. Sunrise for the upcoming week will be around 8 a.m, with sunset being around 4 p.m. The copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Here, there will be some instructions on how to listen to Ox Talk using your Alexa device, and at the end of this edition, you will hear how to access Ox Talk online. After the Alexa device instructions, we will also have two poems that have been selected and read by Jenny.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Ox Talk using Alexa. To listen to Ox Talk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Ox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
As we head into Christmas and 2024 is coming to a close, I would like to read you a couple of winter-themed poems. The first is by Robert Louis Stevenson and is entitled Wintertime. Late lies the wintry sun abed, a frosty, fiery, sleepy head, blinks but an hour or two, and then a blood-red orange sets again. Before the stars have left the skies, at morning in the dark I rise, and shivering in my nakedness, by the cold candle bathe and dress. Close by the jolly fire I sit to warm my frozen bones a bit, or with a reindeer sled explore the colder countries round the door. When to go out, my nurse doth wrap me in my comforter and cap. The cold wind burns my face and blows its frosty pepper up my nose. Black are my steps on silver sod, thick blows my frosty breath abroad, and tree and house and hill and lake are frosted like a wedding cake. And then for my second choice, it's a poem by Robert Frost, is entitled Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sound's the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. I would like to wish all my listeners a very happy Christmas.
A 1920s themed New Year's Eve party is set to raise money for three local charities. Hawkwell House, a boutique hotel in Iffley, will host the event, which will feature a DJ and a four-course dinner with champagne. The proceeds from the event will be shared between Sobel House, Hospice, Seesaw and Be Free Young Carers. Oxford-based Sobel House provides palliative and end-of-life care, while Seesaw, also based in Oxford, offers grief support to youngsters. Jane Alexander Carr, head of fundraising at Seesaw, said, "Seesaw is delighted to be a charity partner of Hawkwell House's New Year's Eve charity gala. As a small local charity, we rely on the support and generosity of our community to fund our work. The charity gala will help to provide bereavement support to all children and young people in Oxfordshire that may need it, as they learn to manage their grief so they can face the future with hope." Nikki Gracie, Relationships Fundraising Manager at Sobel House, added, "We are delighted to be working with Hawkwell House Hostel for their New Year's Eve charity gala. Hawkwell House has supported Sobel House for many years. This event will be particularly special and promises to be a wonderful conclusion to the festive season. Funds raised through this event will help Sobel House Hospice to provide specialist palliative and end-of-life care to adults living in Oxfordshire with a life-limiting illness and support to their family and friends. Be Free Young Carers is the only charity in Oxfordshire which supports young carers across the county." Hannah Waugh, the charity's fundraising coordinator, said, "Be Free Young Carers is incredibly grateful to be supported by Hawkwell House at the New Year's Eve charity gala. Support from Hawkwell House will allow us to provide our emotional support and respite services to young carers, which are essential in giving them the chance to achieve their full potential. Guests are encouraged to dress in vintage attire for the evening in the style of The Great Gatsby."
Soldiers, students and volunteers have packed 2,500 special Christmas boxes for children who have a parent overseas with the armed forces this December. Each box is packed with resources and activities to help children cope with parental separation as festive stocking fillers to raise a smile. Military personnel from across the country, from Oxfordshire, North Yorkshire, Wiltshire, Lincolnshire and Somerset, travel to Dorset to collect the boxes so they can be distributed to families before Christmas leave. The campaign has been organized by the military children's charity, Little Troopers, a national charity dedicated to supporting Foreign Service children. Last year, 7,000 service personnel were deployed on military operations over Christmas, and it's expected that a similar number will be serving overseas this year. As 72% of service personnel have at least one child under 18, thousands of military children will be missing their parent on Christmas.
Two Oxford leisure centres are set to become the first in the UK to introduce new AI-powered gym technology. On Friday, November the 29th, the Ferry Leisure Centre and Lees Pools and Leisure Centre will introduce eGym Genius, a system that provides customers with personalised training plans. The technology is powered by the eGym Fitness Hub, a single device that ensures quick and contactless onboarding to Genius. The eGym Fitness Hub conducts a full body composition analysis, providing metrics such as muscle mass, bone density, and metabolic age. Based on the person's fitness level, goals and training preferences, eGym Genius generates a tailored workout program. Once an individual has input their data and performed a strength test on the eGym's smart strength machines, they will receive personalised training plans that are tailored to their gym and its range of equipment. Brian Taylor, chair of More Leisure Community Trust, which operates five leisure facilities in partnership with Serco Leisure and on behalf of Oxford City Council, said, "We're very excited to be the UK's first gyms to offer this amazing, cutting-edge technology. Customers are going to love eGym Genius. They'll enjoy the simplicity of the setup process, but most of all, they're going to truly love the personalised nature of the guidance it provides. We are confident this new technology will support our customers on their individual health and well-being journeys. Steve Barton, UK Managing Director of EGYM, said, "We're very proud that Ferry Leisure Centre and Lees Pools and Leisure Centre have chosen to implement EGYM Genius. It leverages approximately 410 million assessment data points, fitness tests and measurements, to generate precise recommendations for personalised and motivating training plans, perfectly tailored to each member's experience level and training goals. We are delighted to take another significant step towards preventive, health-orientated training in Oxford." Councillor Chu Mukonge, Cabinet Member for a Healthy Oxford, added, "We're thrilled to see Oxford at the forefront of fitness innovation with this exciting high-tech equipment launch at Ferry and Lees. At Oxford City Council, we're committed to promoting life, health and well-being across our community, supporting active lifestyles and ensuring Oxford residents can access personalised, effective and engaging fitness experiences. Lees Pools and Leisure Centre and Ferry Leisure Centre, alongside Barton Leisure Centre, are also currently running a Black Friday promotion, which offers new and returning customers the chance to join now, pay nothing till January. The centres are also offering three personal training sessions for £35, which represents a 40 to 50% discount."
Oxfordshire residents have the chance to vote for local carers as part of a campaign celebrating their work this Christmas. Online care finder Lottie is launching its annual pledge to celebrate carers with a giveaway of three £250 Airbnb vouchers. Nominations are open to the public, encouraging everyone to spotlight the work of their local care heroes. Will Donnelly, founder and CEO of Lottie, said, "Our research has found that 7.3 million people in the UK have caregiving responsibilities. We urge carers across the country to share their stories and experience, nominate themselves or a fellow carer, and help us shine a light on the vital role they play."
The Bicester School's annual Disney Race for Life was given a boost by a donation of 20 bikes. More than 70 students and staff took part in the after-school event dedicated to fitness, community and cycling. The 20 bikes, donated over the summer, were available for students to use during the race. PE teacher Sarah Masterson secured a grant of nearly £4,000 from Active Oxfordshire's Community Active Travel Fund earlier in the year to allow the second-hand bikes to be integrated into the school's fitness club, the Weekly Mile. Mr. Bridge, a science teacher at the Bicester School, said, "We're really excited about the plans we have for the bikes. We have secured a longer-term storage solution in an adjacent building which allows us to run maintenance workshops. It also allows the bikes to be more accessible. The aim of the bike programme is also to support students who do not currently have access to bikes of their own." Mr. Bridge added, "The plan was always to use the bikes for students who don't currently have access to a bike and would like to borrow one for travelling to school."
People across Oxfordshire are being invited to sign up for an annual 5-mile charity run. The Ox 5 Run, a yearly event at Blenheim Palace near Woodstock, has been raising money to improve the lives of young patients at the Oxford Children's Hospital for more than two decades. Organised by Oxford Hospital's charity, the event will take place on Sunday, March 23rd next year, and invites anyone aged 10 or older to run, jog or walk the route. Phil Rose from Abingdon is one of the first to sign up for the fundraiser. He has taken part every year since 2013, when his daughter Maisie was diagnosed with a rare childhood cancer called neuroblastoma. Mr. Rose said Maisie spent months on Camram's ward in the Children's Hospital when she was just 2 years old. "The care was just incredible, and that's what first motivated me to take part in the Ox 5 Run, and I just haven't stopped." Maisie continues to get a lot of support from the hospitals because of the effects the cancer has had on her. Entry costs £29 for adults and £16 for children aged 10 to 17 for those who sign up early.
Newly elected Chancellor William Hague has said cancel culture is absolutely wrong, and he absolutely defends Professor Kathleen Stock's right to speak at the Oxford Union. Hundreds of protesters marched to the union and LGBT plus activists stormed her talk in May 2023 before one of them glued themselves to the floor. Crowds of activists gathered to angrily denounce the professor, who has risen to fame for defending free speech and claiming trans women are not real women. Lord Hague, who will be inaugurated as Chancellor early in the new year, told Radio 4's Today programme this week, "Cancellation culture towards speakers that we disagree with is absolutely wrong. I would encourage the government to bring forward into law the act that was passed under the previous government reinforcing freedom of speech in higher education, or to, if they think it is deficient, to come up with proposals of their own to do that in an amended form." But he added, "I think freedom of speech is thriving most of the time in Oxford. I don't want to suggest there's a crisis over that, but it will be very important to defend it." Presenter Justin Webb raised the case of gender-critical Professor Kathleen Stock, who left her job with the University of Sussex in 2021 after protests from students following the publication of a book on her views on sex and gender. Mr. Webb said a lot of academics, women academics in particular, think it might be a crisis. What do you say to them and to her? Lord Hague said, "I agree with them absolutely. That was an extremely serious business, and that cannot go on like that in the future, so I absolutely defend her right to speak in Oxford. When I say it's not a crisis, I only mean that it's on the vast majority of occasions. If you go down to the Oxford Union, you'll find people giving very forthright examples of freedom of speech on a whole range of issues. People like Kathleen Stock will certainly find me, as University Chancellor, a defender of her right to speak." During the interview, he also said, "It's inevitable tuition fees will rise." The former Conservative leader, who was heavily defeated in the general election of 2001, said it did not feel like revenge over rival candidate New Labour peer Lord Peter Mandelson. "No, of course it doesn't," he said. "I pay tribute to the other candidates, including him. They showed great dedication to Oxford over the past few months. We all spent a lot of time in Oxford and talked about our hopes and ambitions for it, and it's not a political position."
A programme that supports people in Oxfordshire to leave hospital more quickly, to recover at home, has seen success 1 year on from its rollout. Residents have seen significant benefits in the Discharge to Assess System partnership programme, with hospital trusts, the council and charities working together to identify the best way of supporting a patient to leave hospital safely and quickly. The latest figures demonstrate it has enabled 23% more people to leave hospital compared to last year. In October, this amounted to 657 people going home from hospital through Discharge to Assess.
The start of Oxford's Christmas market was delayed by Storm Bert. The annual celebration fills Broad Street every year and was due to start on Saturday. But the wet weather and high winds delayed the opening of the market by a day, and stalls did not start trading until Sunday afternoon. City Council spokesman Tony Eccleston said, "Following monitoring of the weather and the site, the Christmas in Broad Street event opened on Sunday at lunchtime. The weather will continue to be monitored and the market will be stopped, if necessary, at any point throughout the duration in order to protect the safety of the public and the site." After the rain stopped today, the market was busy with tourists, students and residents visiting food and craft stalls. Keston Events has taken over the running of the event from LSD Promotions, and there are 32 craft stalls and 6 food stalls. One of the new attractions is a 2-storey wooden alpine lodge, the Après Ski Bar, halfway along the street selling beers and other drinks. A cup of mulled wine costs £6.10. Staff said the bar's balcony remains closed, but it's expected to open soon. Trader Miles Radley, selling Spanish grater plates, has been trading at the market for 10 years. He said, "Last year there were gazebos, but this year it's back to the wooden huts, which is much more like a Christmas market." The opening was delayed by a day, but I think people were concerned about high winds. Better safe than sorry. The weather forecast for the next couple of days is better. Osman Hokaluk from London is running a stall selling winter accessories. He said, "It's lovely here, a lovely city. We opened on Sunday and we probably did better than we have so far today." A German swing grill is selling German sausages starting from £8. "Trade is starting to pick up. We're really looking forward to it," said a member of staff. Browsing at the market were Brasenose College students Rudra Thacker and Katie Pitcher, both 20. "It feels more like Christmas now the market is here," said Miss Pitcher. A statement from market organisers says, "From the bustling market stalls on Broad Street to live music that fills the air with holiday cheer, there's something for everyone to enjoy. Save a mouth-watering street food, find the perfect gift, or simply soak in the festive atmosphere. And when you need a break, head over to the Cozy Alpine Lodge, our two-storey bar where you can warm up with a seasonal drink." The market stalls are sharing space with a cycle lane which runs alongside it.
Oxford United women made it through to the third round of the FA Cup with a little help from a penalty save in the closing stages. United manager Sam Rose said after the match, "I'm really pleased with the win. I think we needed the win just off the back of the last two games. It was important we put a performance on, and I thought we did. It looked a lot more like us, so I'm really pleased. They're a good side, and this surface suits them. There were some good passages of play from both teams. Right the way through, the team, it was really encouraging. For those players that didn't start, for them to get minutes was important."
Runners in Witney are set to take part in a Christmas Day park run once again this year. The free, weekly, timed 5 kilometre walk, jog or run usually takes place every Saturday at 9 a.m. at West Witney Sports and Social Club. Event organisers are set to also hold a run at the same venue on December the 25th at 9 a.m, weather permitting. The Witney Park Run team said, "It's the news you've been waiting for. That's right, volunteers permitting, we are excited to be hosting a Christmas Day park run again this year." The team are also planning to continue the weekly runs, which will take place on Saturday, December the 21st and Saturday, December the 28th, but there will be no New Year's Day park run. Organiser said, "We'll shortly be sending out an email to everyone who's opted into our volunteer announcements to fill the roster. So if you aren't opted in but would like to help, please comment below or email whitney@parkrun.com.
A free mental health service for 11 to 18-year-olds has launched across Oxfordshire. Tell Me, a mental health app, has been commissioned by Oxfordshire County Council to provide additional support to young people who need it. The app offers a 365-day access to pre-moderated space where users can anonymously discuss their feelings. In-house counsellors are available to support high-risk users when necessary, but there are no referrals and no thresholds for accessing support. The app also provides access to a directory of more than 700 vetted crisis specialist and local support services. Since 2015, Oxfordshire has seen a constant rise in school pupils with social, emotional and mental health needs.
Since the pandemic, drinkers have been dreaming of a pint inside the Eagle and Child. The famous pub in St Giles in Oxford, renowned for its links with fantasy writers J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, closed in March 2020 and has not reopened since. Now new owners, American science company The Ellison Institute, is moving ahead with plans to revamp it and expects to welcome customers again in 2027. In October last year, the Institute, established in Los Angeles by billionaire Larry Ellison, announced plans for a new laboratory campus at Oxford Science Park. At the same time, it bought the Eagle and Child. Now, new images of what the pub could look like when it reopens has been revealed. Last week, people were invited to see the refurbishment plans and learn how EIT, Ellison Institute of Technology, will honour the pub's cultural legacy and restore the public space to the community. The public consultation took place in the Garden Quad reception room at St John's College and included photos and plans of the existing buildings and the owner's vision of how they will look in the future. The pub was where the Inklings, a literary group who included J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, met regularly from 1939 to 1962. Plans show that two parlours at the front of the pub will be kept and a third one reinstated as it was in 1863. The new bar will be in the same position at the entrance to the Rabbit Room. Apart from the pub itself, EIT's plans include academic meeting rooms on the first and second floors and a bakery next door, previously occupied by Green's Cafe. Work on the Eagle and Child is expected to finish in 2027. Dave Richardson, a spokesman for the Oxford branch of Real Ale Group Camra, said, "It's heartening to see that EIT will honour its word and restore this famous building as a traditional pub with its historic features intact. I'm particularly pleased to see that the front parlours, which I think of as alcoves, will be restored. This was always my first choice of seating when I went in, but others were often there before me." Mr. Richardson added the plans also include opening up the garden and a more sympathetic modern extension at the rear, replacing the old conservatory. He said he remained concerned about the size of the bar. "Adapting the long, narrow building was always going to be a challenge," Mr. Richardson said. He added, "Overcrowding and queuing at the bar were a major problem, and I can remember going in at times but giving up on trying to get a drink."
A military barracks near Abingdon is to be transformed into a garden village featuring more than 5,000 new homes. A series of consultation meetings are about to be held to inform residents in the town and surrounding villages about plans for Dalton Barracks Garden Village. The Ministry of Defence has declared that the barracks and former Abingdon airfield currently used by the Army will be vacated and released for development in 2031. A sustainable development is being proposed, built on garden village principles. The garden village will provide up to 5,250 new high-quality homes, including affordable housing. There will also be new primary schools and a site for a new secondary school to serve the development and wider area. There will also be extended and enhanced bus services to link the site to key facilities and a comprehensive network of cycle paths. The barrack site was designated as a garden village in 2019. Since then, the DIO has liaised with Vale of Whitehorse District Council and Oxfordshire County Council to develop a draft vision for the site.
A new partnership is looking to tackle fuel poverty among young families. Homestart UK will work with Gas Distribution Network SGN to provide utility support services across the county, starting with Banbury, Bicester and Chipping Norton. Homestart UK is a local community network of trained volunteers helping families with young children through challenging times. SGN is set to contribute £1.4 million in funding to help Homestart combat the financial strain of energy costs, offering practical assistance and working to build long-term resilience. Representatives from SGN and Homestart UK recently visited Homestart Banbury, Bicester and Chipping Norton to mark the launch of the partnership. They met families, staff and volunteers to hear accounts of the impact of Homestart on the community and discuss new training and resources aimed at keeping families safe and warm this winter. SGN's Community Partnerships Manager Janet Duggan said it was great to be able to meet families and staff from Banbury Homestart to officially launch our new partnership across southern England from Dorset to Kent. Many families are still facing hardship through the cost of living crisis and living in cold and unsafe homes. We hope our partnership will go some way to help people with young children to stay safe and warm in their own homes. Home Start Banbury's manager Louise Sanson added, "This funding will enable us to provide essential support to help families stay warm this winter. This will provide relief to those families facing real challenges and help us to support their needs. It also allows us to raise awareness of the dangers of carbon monoxide and let people know the benefits of joining the Priority Services Register." Home Start has supported more than 20,000 families with debt and financial challenges since 2020 to 21. Home Start's Deputy Chief Executive Vivian Waterfield said, "This new partnership with SGN couldn't be coming at a more important time. Feedback from our volunteers is that they're visiting a growing number of families struggling to make ends meet, with parents making impossible choices this winter between eating and heating."
Cut-price bus travel is returning to Oxfordshire next month, and passengers can take advantage of the offer for even longer this year. Single bus fares will be capped at £1 every Sunday in December in the county, an improvement on last year's offer, which only included the Sundays leading up to Christmas. The boost comes after bus passengers were disappointed by news in the budget that the £2 bus fare cap is being replaced by a new £3 cap until the end of 2025. Some city mayors have announced that the £2 cap will remain in their regions, but Oxfordshire will not benefit. The 2023 offer led to an estimated 7.4% increase in bus journeys, and it is hoped for a similar result this year. The December fare cap is one of many measures funded by a £1.9 million government grant in 2023 to improve bus services over 2 years. Passengers can also continue to take advantage of the recently introduced My Bus Ticket, offering almost unlimited travel on nearly all local services for a fixed daily or weekly rate.
Charities in Didcot will be £1,500 better off after a donation from a housing developer. David Wilson Homes handed over the cheque to the Didcot Powerhouse Fund, hosted by the Oxfordshire Community Foundation, which provides grants to various charities and community organisations across the area. Powerhouse was first established in 2021 and has previously supported a variety of worthwhile causes, from period poverty to young people's mental health to isolated parents with new babies. Since its launch, the fund has raised more than £300,000 and made 56 grants to local charities. Elizabeth Paris, chairwoman of the Didcot Powerhouse Fund, said, "The Didcot Powerhouse Fund was set up to tackle inequality and deprivation within Greater Didcot and the surrounding villages. This is an area which is perceived by many as affluent, but which has pockets of poverty that fall below the Oxfordshire average and in some cases place it in the lowest rankings of deprivation in England. The focus of Powerhouse is local. At least 90% of our beneficiaries live within the Greater Didcot area. We support these beneficiaries by making direct grants to those charities and community organisations that are working hard to improve local lives."
Lord William Hague has been elected as the new Chancellor of the University of Oxford. The 63-year-old will serve as the next Chancellor, having won the majority of support in the final round of voting for the post. Lord Hague will be formally inaugurated as Chancellor early in the new year and serve for a term of 10 years. He becomes the 160th recorded Chancellor in the university's history, a role that dates back at least 800 years. He says, "My heart and soul are in Oxford, and I will dedicate myself in the coming years to serving the university I love." Professor Irene Tracy, Vice Chancellor of the University of Oxford, said, "I am delighted to welcome Lord Hague back to Oxford as its 160th Chancellor. On behalf of the entire university community, I heartily congratulate him on being elected." William Hague graduated from Magdalen College, Oxford in 1982, and has always said that Oxford transformed his life, arriving from a comprehensive school in South Yorkshire. He studied philosophy, politics, and economics, and was president of the Oxford Union. He is best known for his political career, particularly his time as leader of the Conservative Party from 1997 to 2001 and Foreign Secretary from 2010 to 2014. He also served as Secretary of State for Wales, Leader of the House of Commons, and Minister for Disabled People, in which role he was the author of the Disability Discrimination Act. He spent 26 years as the MP for Richmond, Yorkshire. Lord Hague of Richmond succeeds Lord Patten of Barnes, who announced his retirement from the post in February.
The RAF Global Ennoblement Medal for Force has been honoured for its outstanding humanitarian contribution during a presentation at RAF Brize Norton. The unit received the 2023 Firmin Sword of Peace Award, which recognises Royal Navy, Army, RAF and Joint Service Units for fostering positive relationships between the British Armed Forces and communities worldwide at the base in Carterton. The award was presented by Chief of the Air Staff, Air Chief Marshal Sir Rich Knighton. The Medical Force's achievements include deployments during Operation Green Lighter after the Turkey earthquake and Operation Polar Bear in Sudan, where they provided critical medical care to thousands, often under challenging conditions. Air Chief Marshal Sir Rich Knighton said, "It's an honour to present RAF Global Enablement's Medical Force with the 2023 Firmin Sword of Peace for their professionalism."
A landmark new music venue in Oxford is quickly taking shape ahead of its opening next year, but some groups are worried it will not be large enough for the wider public. The world-class concert hall, the Stephen A. Schwarzman Center for Humanities, was funded by gifts totaling $185 million from the philanthropist and businessman, Mr. Schwarzman. Oxford groups, people, and orchestras are keenly anticipating its opening next autumn at the Radcliffe Observatory Quarter. The center, designed by Hopkins Architects, will be home to a 500-seat concert hall. Marios Papadopoulos of the Oxford Philharmonic Orchestra welcomed the development.
A free mental health service for 11 to 18-year-olds has launched across Oxfordshire. Tell Me, a mental health app, has been commissioned by Oxfordshire County Council to provide additional support to young people who need it. The app offers 365-day access to a pre-moderated space where users can anonymously discuss their feelings. In-house counsellors are available to support high-risk users when necessary, but there are no referrals and no thresholds for accessing support. The app also provides access to a directory of more than 700 vetted crisis specialists and local support services. Councillor Nathan Lee, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Public Health, Inequalities and Community Safety, said, "We are delighted to launch Tell Me, an interactive digital app. This app will be freely available to support all young people in secondary schools in Oxfordshire and local organisations that would like more support to help them deal with young people's concerns about mental health and well-being. Since 2015, Oxfordshire has seen a consistent rise in school pupils with social, emotional and mental health needs. According to the 2023 Oxwell Student Survey, 33% of students in years 7 to 13 reported serious thoughts about self-harm, and 19% of secondary school students said they often felt lonely."
As part of an effort to decarbonise their fleet of maintenance vehicles, South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Council have received two new electric vans. The all-electric Renault Kangoo vans, delivered at the start of autumn, will be used by the parks team and the public toilet cleaning team for inspections, cleaning, maintenance work and deliveries across both districts. These electric vehicles will replace petrol and diesel vans, significantly reducing the council's carbon emissions. Each van is estimated to have saved 475.25 kilograms of carbon dioxide equivalent in the first 2 months of use. Their arrival marks the beginning of a broader plan by the councils to fully convert the 12-strong fleet of maintenance vehicles used by the facility's toilet cleaning and parks teams to electric vans within the next 3 years.
Children are greeted with smiles and kind words at an Oxford nursery which has a warm and welcoming environment, Ofsted has found. Your co-op Little Pioneers, Rose Hill, was awarded a good rating by the Education Watchdog. The nursery, situated off Ashurst Way, caters for 105 children up to the age of four. It was rated good in all areas, with inspectors praising the effective support provided by staff and management. Children were said to feel safe and secure, settling well into their routines. Nursery manager Raika Kami said, "We're delighted by the report, which shines a light on our team's dedication and enthusiasm for going above and beyond for our children and their families. This award is a great achievement, and the positive comments about our nursery inspire us as we look to the future of Little Pioneers, Rose Hill. We are thankful that the inspectors have recognised our commitment to fostering confidence and happiness in the children, ensuring they feel secure and cared for in our nursery." The inspector noted staff help children to understand their emotions, and this effective support results in well-behaved children who are considerate of the feelings of others. The staff were also commended for helping children to make progress with their social communication and physical skills. They were described as especially successful at helping children to play purposefully and imaginatively. This play was said to help the children develop their concentration and learn how to take account of other people's opinions. Children were observed to do things for themselves very well, demonstrated by older children through their use of cutlery and their ability to serve their own food and put their coats on by themselves. Babies were settled off to sleep, and staff were noted for recognising when they were not yet ready for a nap and adapting their routines accordingly. Children who thoroughly enjoy their time at nursery were seen to have good levels of well-being. The report also highlighted the positive relationships with parents who find the leaders approachable and the staff helpful. They are given thorough handovers about their child's day, and parents feel staff know their children well. The staff at Rose Hill were described as a team that plans and delivers a curriculum that helps ensure children are well prepared for the next stage in their learning journeys.
Oxfordshire Council taxpayers have a chance to share their views on what should be prioritised in next year's local policing budget. Matthew Barber, the Police and Crime Commissioner for Thames Valley, is asking residents to complete his local crime survey, sharing on which areas they would like policing element of council tax to be focused in the 2025-26 budget. The survey will play a role in setting the 2025-26 policing budget, which is expected to be finalised at the end of January. Central government funding allocations for police forces is expected to be received in December. This funding settlement allows police and crime commissioners to increase council tax for additional investments in local policing. Last year, increases of up to £13 for a bandee property were permitted. For the last financial year, the increase in council tax of 25p per week has helped to recruit 150 additional police officers, implement a Thames Valley-wide program to help tackle knife crime, and continue investment in the Forensic Improvement Program. It also funded initiatives to tackle retail crime and improve road safety, and continued investment in a Thames Valley-wide CCTV partnership. Residents of Thames Valley can attend regular public meetings where the policing budget is discussed.
A company which built and manages a collection of retirement properties in Abingdon has won a national award for a second consecutive year. Churchill Living, which manages Albert Lodge, received the Gold Award in the Best Retirement Home Developer category at the Watt House Awards 2024, which are considered a top honour in the UK house building industry. The award was handed out at an event hosted by actor James Nesbitt on November the 15th, at the Grosvenor House Hotel in London. Spencer J. McCarthy, Churchill's chairman and CEO, said, "I'm incredibly proud to achieve this accolade for a second year running, which underlines the strength of our business, the quality of our product, and the positive change we strive for on behalf of our sector. Awards like this would not be possible without our fantastic team of people around the country, so I'd like to thank everyone across the Churchill Group for the hard work that goes in throughout the year to help achieve this success."
A pioneering therapeutic garden is marking 30 years of providing mental health support. Bridewell Gardens, a 6.5-acre walled garden and a 5-acre vineyard in Wilcote near Whitney, is part of the Oxfordshire Mental Health Partnership and receives referrals through Oxford Health, GPs and voluntary sector organisations. The service works with 70 to 90 people each year who have experienced serious mental health, including diagnoses of bipolar disorder, schizophrenia and depression. In the last 10 months, 48% of people moving on from Bridewell have returned to paid employment and volunteering. The service has launched an ambitious fundraising campaign for a new $160 million project, with the gardens including an overhaul of crumbling infrastructure, a new year-round activity space, outdoor kitchen and new polytunnel to increase production of plants.
A secondary school has turned around its fortunes by achieving a good Ofsted rating just 2 years after being told it required improvement. Aureus School in Didcot got the recommendation after inspections were carried out on October the 22nd and 23rd. In 2022, Ofsted said it required improvement, but head teacher Kirsty Rogers, who joined in September last year, has turned things around. Ms. Rogers said, "We are incredibly proud of this achievement, which reflects the hard work and dedication of our staff, students and their families. Our journey has been guided by a commitment to inclusive education, ensuring that all students are supported to achieve greatness. I am proud of how our community has embraced this challenge with resilience and determination." The Ofsted report confirms that we're on the right path, and we're excited to continue building on this strong foundation. I would like to thank the Aureus team of teaching and associate staff who've worked tirelessly to transform the school. I'm delighted this report recognised their hard work and commitment. I'd also like to thank the students who are a privilege to work with and who make our school such a vibrant place to be. An additional thank you goes out to our families, members of our school's standards board, and to GLF schools, including the school's support team. Together, we make a fantastic Aureus family, which has a powerful and positive impact on our students' education. The inspector's report said, "Aureus School has changed for the better."
A new resource is set to help businesses and organisations address the transport challenges faced by young people. Earlier this year, Oxfordshire Community Rail Partnership released its Insight and Impact report. The report was based on youth-led research and engagement initiatives aimed at making transport accessible for all. The study found 78% of young people were concerned about safety while travelling, with this being a particular issue for females, transgender individuals, and black and brown youngsters. The report's findings and perspectives had led to the creation of the Youth Travel Toolkit. This resource is specifically designed for local businesses and organizations, helping them to address the transport challenges faced by young people while supporting the county's broader economic and sustainability goals. The toolkit also provides information for businesses seeking to engage with younger audiences. It offers guidance on how to adapt to changing behaviours.
Children across Oxfordshire have been invited to design a costume for Tinkerbell to enter into a competition launched by Blenheim Palace. The competition is calling on youngsters to showcase their artistic talents by dreaming up a new outfit for Neverland's Fairy. Inspired by J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan, the competition is part of a collaboration with Great Ormond Street Hospital charity. Young designers can use any medium they choose to create their costume design, including pencils, crayons, paint, or felt tips. The prize for the winning design includes 4 family tickets to the Neverland Experience at the Palace and the outdoor illuminated trail and short break for 4 at the Blenheim Palace Lodge Retreat. The winner will also get an opportunity to take home a fairy from the Neverland display after the festive season and enjoy a Neverland afternoon tea for 4 at the Orangery. 4 runners-up, 1 from each age group, will be awarded a family, palace and play pass for Christmas at Blenheim Palace, valid between December the 16th and January the 1st. The age groups are 4 and younger, 5 6-year-olds, 7 to 8-year-olds and 9 to 10-year-olds. Entries can be submitted by downloading the Tinkerbell template sheet from the Blenheim Palace competition webpage, designing the costume and submitting a photo or scan of the completed design via the online form. The deadline for entries is 4 p.m. on December the 10th.
Work has been completed on 2 major projects in the garden at Blenheim Palace. The historic bellcote in the walled garden, which dates back to the early 1700s, used to notify workers when to start and finish work when the garden was built to feed workers during construction of the palace itself. During a 3-month project, the lower section of the bellcote was totally rebuilt in locally sourced oak, the bell and brackets cleaned, and new steels, corbels, sole plates, and cladding created. Meanwhile, the 1920s centrepiece in Blenheim Palace's Rose Garden, a statue of a young woman sitting on the shoulders of a centaur holding a conch shell, observed by a winged young child, was removed for restoration in late 2023. The Rose Garden is being transformed back into the rosarium that the 7th Duke of Marlborough, John Winston Spencer Churchill, would have enjoyed in the 19th century. Several flood defences have been erected across Oxford to prevent further flooding. The city and wider county were still feeling the effects of Storm Bert on Tuesday, with roads flooded, transport services affected, and schools shut. To prevent further chaos and damage, flood defences have been set up in the South Hinksey and Osney area of Oxford. Announcing the news on Tuesday afternoon, the Environment Agency for the South East said, "Following Storm Bert, we're getting prepared for more rain forecast this week." A hostelry which was saved from permanent closure is the Oxford Mail Pub of the Week. After closing its doors during the pandemic, one of the city's most famous pubs reopened, thanks to a successful takeover from a community interest group. Drinkers across the globe were shocked when the Lamb and Flag in St. Giles was shut down by its owners, St. John's College. But after closing at beginning of 2021, it reopened in October 2022, following a takeover by the Inklings Group. Dylan Dudbridge Hay and his wife Alice were the first landlords appointed by the Inklings. Then earlier this year, they moved to Cornwall, and Dave Molina took over. Originally from Alicante in Spain, Mr. Molina has extensive experience in the pub trade, having previously worked at the Bull in Charlbury and at the Anchor in Oxford. Mr. Molina, who has also worked at the Duke of Cambridge in Oxford and at the Crown in Woodstock, said earlier he would not be changing much initially, as the couple did such a great job. The previous managers started out with a plan to serve food throughout the day, and then reverted to bar snacks when drinkers told them to focus on the beer. Real ale is the soul of the pub. Fresh, local beers, so it's important to focus on that. Oxfordshire actor Jonathan Bailey is displaying the ballet skills he learned in Henley in the biggest movie of the month. The Wallingford-born actor, 36, stars in the musical blockbuster Wicked, which had the largest ever opening weekend for a stage musical adaptation at cinema chain View this weekend. Mr. Bailey, who played Viscount Anthony Bridgerton in Netflix, plays Flyero in the movie adapted from a hit Broadway and West End musical. Mr. Bailey, who grew up in Benson, went to Benson C of E Primary School and Magdalen College School at Oxford, and he did ballet at a dance school in Henley. He told Vanity Fair, "I did gymnastics growing up, and I did dancing. I was the only boy within a whatever mile radius. And because I was a boy and I was dancing, whenever the Royal Shakespeare wanted to cast someone, they called me." Professor Dorothy Bishop, Oxford University Emeritus Professor of Developmental Neuropsychology and a leading expert on children's communication disorders, said she handed back her fellowship of the Royal Society last week. Controversy surrounding Mr. Musk, the CEO of Tesla and owner of X, formerly Twitter, has grown after he backed Donald Trump in the US election. Professor Bishop told The Guardian her move was a gut reaction, adding she had met with the president and executive after indicating her decision to resign. They stressed the need to follow due process over Mr. Musk. She said, "I just started to think, you know, the Royal Society seemed to be set up to make it very, very difficult to ever get somebody to resign or to actually get thrown out. And given all I know about Musk, it felt grubby, to be honest." Professor Bishop added, "It just felt having him in the Royal Society seemed such a contradiction of all the values of the Royal Society, and I didn't really want to have anything to do with it." The professor also pointed to the Royal Society's code of conduct, which stresses the need for fellows to treat each other with courtesy. Writing in a blog post, Professor Bishop said she did not expect her resignation to have an impact, but it made her feel more comfortable. She wrote, "Any pleasure I may take in the distinction of the honor of a fellowship of the Royal Society is diminished by the fact that it is shared with someone who appears to be modeling himself on a Bond villain." In April, Oxford University shut down an academic institute which previously received funding from Elon Musk.
And that is all the news for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about OxTalk, please feel free to contact us by phoning 07496 062 280. That is 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message, or you can send us an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and past editions are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can listen to these editions directly or download them online. If you need any help or have any further queries, please feel free to contact us. That is all for now. We hope you have a wonderful week, where joy fills the world, for it truly is the season to cherish each other, for that is the reason. Thank you for listening.